Hi, I'm Rob Nadelson, and the title of this essay is The Colorado Supreme Court's Decision Disqualifying President Trump. There were two fundamental flaws in the Colorado Supreme Court's 4-3 decision removing former President Donald Trump from the Colorado 2024 election ballot. The first flaw was that the justices reversed the lower court without seriously addressing the issue the lower court found decisive. The second flaw was that the proceeding, like some others against the former president, did not grant him adequate due process. Before going deeper into those subjects, let's examine how the case arose and mention some things the Colorado justices did get right. Colorado law empowers the Secretary of State, as chief elections officer, to decide who has qualified for the ballot. After the Secretary of State placed President Trump on the ballot, a group of anti-Trump Republicans and independents petitioned to have him removed. State law provides an expedited or very fast procedure for election challenges. This procedure enabled the petitioners to bypass the standing to sue problems that have thwarted similar lawsuits in other states, and which I discussed in an earlier column on this website. The petitioners argued that the expedited procedure could be used to remove a candidate not qualified for the office he seeks. This argument probably was correct. However, qualification lawsuits usually center on straightforward questions like, does the candidate live in the district? And does the candidate meet the age requirement? The issues in the Trump case were far more complicated. The plaintiffs argued that President Trump had engaged in insurrection against the United States and was thus disqualified by Section 3 of the Constitution's 14th Amendment. That section provides that, quote, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president or hold any office under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer from any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid and comfort to the enemies thereof. But Congress may, by a vote of 2/3 of each house, remove such disability. In other words, no person shall be a senator, representative, presidential elector, or hold any office under the United States who has previously taken an oath to be loyal to the United States and then violated that oath. After expedited proceedings, the trial judge found that President Trump engaged in insurrection during the days leading up to January 6, 2021. But the judge also concluded that the presidency was not covered by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. The judge noted that Section 3 mentions member of Congress and presidential electors, but does not mention the president. So the presidency is covered only if it is a, quote, office under the United States. After examining the Constitution's text and historical evidence, the judge concluded that although the president is an officer, he's not an officer under the United States, as the Constitution uses that phrase. Thus, the judge denied the petition to strike President Trump from the Colorado ballot. The petitioners thereupon appealed to the state Supreme Court. On December 19, 2023, the Colorado Supreme Court issued its opinion per curiam. That means for the court. This means that no single person was the author. Four of the seven justices signed on to it. They were Justices Monica Marquez, Melissa Hart, Richard Gabriel, and William W. Hood. The three dissenters each wrote separate opinions. They were Chief Justice Brian Boatwright and Justices Carlos Amando Zamora and Maria Birkencarter. The court had to address quite a few issues, requiring a lengthy opinion of 133 pages. The majority got two of those issues right. First, the court pointed out that under the U.S. Constitution, presidential elections are subject to state, not federal control. Although the Constitution gives Congress power to override state congressional election laws, the Constitution does not give Congress similar power to override state presidential election laws. The principal exception is that Congress may fix the time for choosing the Electoral College and the day on which the Electoral College votes. The Supreme Court also got a related issue right. The Trump lawyers and one of the dissenting justices agreed that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was not self-executing. In other words, they argued that it is a dead letter unless Congress defines and enforces it, which Congress has not done. They point to Section 5 of the 14th Amendment, which gives Congress power to enforce the amendment by, quote, appropriate legislation. There are several problems with the argument that the 14th Amendment is not self-executing or requires legislation to enforce. First, the fact that Congress has power to adopt laws enforcing the amendment does not mean it must do so before the amendment is effective. Second, although the amendment granted Congress power to remove a disability, the amendment pointedly did not grant power to create a disability. Third, Section 5, that is the authority to Congress to adopt appropriate legislation, Section 5 is what's called an incidental powers clause. This means that scope is quite limited. Congress has passed a law making insurrection a crime. It's Title 18 of United States Code, Section 2383. Violation of that law leads to disqualification. It's unclear what portion of the Constitution gives Congress authority to pass such a law, but it probably is not the 14th Amendment. Several scholars have concluded that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does not apply to the president because they say the presidency is not, in the Constitution's phrase, an office under the United States. They present an impressive amount of evidence suggesting that when the Constitution was ratified, people thought of the president as an officer, but not as an officer under the United States. That latter phrase referred only to an appointed officer, such as the Secretary of the Treasury or the Secretary of the Senate. The trial judge found the evidence from the ratification era persuasive, but the Colorado Supreme Court largely ignored it. Instead, the majority on the Colorado Supreme Court contended that excluding the president didn't make sense because then he would not be covered by the Constitution's Foreign Emoluments Clause. The Foreign Emoluments Clause is Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, which prevents officers under the United States from accepting gifts from foreign powers. However, important evidence shows that the people who ratified the Constitution did not, in fact, consider the president to be covered by the Foreign Emoluments Clause because he wasn't an officer under the United States. The justices ignored that point, too. President Trump repeatedly has been denied due process of law. This happened in the first and second impeachment trials and at the House of Representatives Select Committee to investigate the January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol, which we'll call the January 6 Committee. Denial of due process just happened again in Colorado. President Trump has never been convicted or even charged with insurrection. President Biden's Justice Department, which has not been reluctant to prosecute political opponents, including Trump, has never proceeded against him under the federal insurrection statute. The likely reason for that is that the prosecutors know there's not sufficient evidence to obtain a conviction. As I've stated in a previous column on this website, I think there should be a conviction for criminal insurrection before a person is disqualified. The Colorado trial judge nevertheless allowed the suit to proceed. As a result, she had to determine whether the January 6 riot really was an insurrection, and if it was, whether Trump knowingly promoted it. These are difficult issues, and they require preparation, tested evidence, and time to resolve. As the dissenting justices of the Colorado Supreme Court pointed out, disqualification for public office is a drastic punishment. It should be inflicted only after compliance with all due process standards. They include timely notification, disclosure of evidence among the parties, an impartial adjudicator, the right to call witnesses, the right to cross-examine, time to prepare, and, because of the seriousness of the punishment, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Expedited proceedings might be fine for determining whether a person meets an age requirement, but they're totally inadequate for trying the complex issue of whether the former president engaged in insurrection. For that reason, the trial judge should have dismissed the case. The correct path for the petitioners would have been to convince a prosecutor to seek a criminal conviction for insurrection, or, assuming petitioners have standing, to commence a regular civil proceeding, not an expedited one. Possibly because of the expedited hearing time was so limited, the trial judge compounded her mistake by heavy reliance on evidence from the January 6th committee. The Colorado Supreme Court's most serious mistake was in approving this procedure. Material from the January 6th committee is hearsay, which means it cannot be cross-examined. True, the Colorado Supreme Court pointed out that an exception to the hearsay rule exists for, and I'm quoting here, factual findings resulted from an investigation made pursuant to authority granted by law. But the January 6th committee's spectacle was not an investigation, as that term usually is understood. It was a show trial. All the members of the committee already had voted to impeach Trump on the same charges. All Trump supporters were kept off the committee. The Trump team was not permitted to introduce evidence, challenge evidence, or cross-examine witnesses. Evidence was admitted, highlighted, suppressed, or manipulated to achieve predetermined results. The committee hearings were staged events designed to destroy a political opponent. Joe Stalin couldn't have done it better. In sum, material from the January 6th committee has no place in a courtroom. Well, what's the future here? If the Colorado Supreme Court decision survives review by the U.S. Supreme Court, and I suspect it will not, we can imagine the future. It'll be like this. First, if the federal or state establishment opposes a popular political candidate, then Congress or the state legislature will conduct a show trial and issue a report supposedly proving the candidate is guilty of insurrection. Second, the candidate's opponents will then sue in a sympathetic court to remove that politician from the ballot using the report as so-called evidence. And finally, the court will remove the opposing politician from the ballots and the voters will never be heard. Is that really the future we want? I'm Rob Nadelson. Thanks for listening.